Welcome to Energy in Action. I'm your host, Marcy Young, and as a Mito patient myself, I appreciate you and the community you've helped us to build. This podcast honors the triumphs and struggles of patients and families affected by this disease and celebrates the work being done by doctors and researchers every day to make it a safer world for our people. We are a support group and a podcast focusing on all things related to mitochondrial disease. Welcome to another episode of Energy in Action. I'm your host, Marcy Young. And what I think is so special about this podcast is that sometimes we focus on resilient family journeys, and other times there's, you know, talk of these super positive initiatives, like all the great patient advocacy work that has happened as of recently within our community. And today we are featuring a nonprofit that is here to do some real good. Located in the Philadelphia area, Hosts for Hospitals are here to support families as they visit physicians and endure procedures at Philly Region Hospitals. Today, you'll meet the organization's founder, Mike Aikenbaum, and one of the organization's incredible hosts, Rebecca Flenner. Hello to the both of you. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Marcy. It's great to be here.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I think that something like this is so essential to really giving love and comfort in time of need. And so we're going to teach our listeners what we mean by that today. So, Mike, let's kick it off with you. Can you take a moment to just introduce your organization? Give us the background on how it came to be and what made you want to create this?
Well, the organization is called Hosts for Hospitals. This July, we'll start our 27th year of providing very inexpensive lodging and caring support to patient families coming to all the medical facilities in Greater Philadelphia. I got involved with this because there's an expression that man plans and God laughs.
I know that one well.
So back when I was 33, my wife and I, we had two children, 20 months apart. And one day, our eight-month-old child crawled over to where I was sitting on a couch. And I looked down at him, and then I pointed my finger to my other son sitting on the table in a strapped-up chair, and back to the one on the floor. I said to my wife, I cannot remember what his name is. And 2 days later, the head of oncology at the University of Michigan Medical Center told me that I had acute leukemia, and quote, nothing could be done for him, unquote. So then I spent 7 months straight in the hospital, and for 5 months, I was transferred to Sloan Kettering in Manhattan. And frankly, I didn't want to go there because I wanted to die at home. But my family made me go to Sloan Kettering. And then Dr. G there was able to get me into remission. My brother was a match. I received a bone marrow transplant. And in 1991, they pronounced me cured. And I've not seen an oncologist since then. Thereafter, in the mid-90s, I learned about a program in Boston that had people in their homes welcome patient families. And so we contacted them in the year 2000. We hired them as consultants to teach us how to do this. And then three of us founded this organization. Another woman who had gone through an analogous medical procedure, and somebody who had heard, well, her name was Nancy Wimmer, and then J.B. Hillman heard a radio show on WHYY about the Boston program. And so we founded our organization. And since then, we've lodged over 4,500 patient families in Greater Philadelphia.
Wow, that's really cool. Like, I am so proud of you. I mean, obviously it was a long time ago, but to endure all of that when you had two young children, I can't imagine what life felt like for your entire family. I mean, you know, you thought your life was coming to an end. I'm sure your wife was in heartbreak mode, and your little kids. I mean, and to see you come out the other side and just do such amazing things for other families is a beautiful story to tell.
Well, the beautiful story are people like Rebecca who welcome people into their homes. But you're absolutely right that it's not just for the patients, for the support people as well.
Yeah.
And my favorite quote from any guest is she said, well, I'll tell you the story. And then Rebecca can share her stories. But this was a woman whose daughter was at the Jefferson Hospital headache clinic. So just about a week or so. And we lodged her at a home that had, it was an in-law suite. And on the other side of the wall, there are two young preschool kids playing. And our guest then wrote me a testimonial letter. And she wrote, "In my most abnormal situation, being in a normal home is so comforting." And that's the essence of what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great way to sum it up. I only became familiar with your organization from you and from learning from you, but I can imagine that that is the true crux of what you're doing and why you're doing it. So, you know, from the host perspective, Rebecca, tell us how you got involved.
I was really in the hospital a lot with my mother. She was not well as she aged, and I spent a lot of time in the hospital, you know, and this is probably familiar to most people. When you have a loved one in the hospital, you sort of, you get to know the route to the room. You know, you come out of the elevator and you turn left at the painting and then you're sitting there waiting.
It's all so sterile.
Oh, yeah, it's so sterile, so noisy. And you're sitting there waiting for the doctor or the doctors to make their rounds. And yeah, you're watching the TV, you're eating Jell-O. Just, you don't want to leave the room. You know, yeah. it's so stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel for the family members because I remember what that's like. And you don't even know what time it is. You know, it's just this atmosphere. So I hope that I can provide a place for people to sleep and recover and alleviate what must be an incredibly anxious time. I know it is because I know, you know, we've all been there, and it just, not only the stress, but also the expense. I've had people stay with me that have had to stay in hotels for a week, and you can only imagine, you know, that doesn't get covered by insurance. So this is just like a small thing I can do, and it means a lot to these people. So I'm happy to be able to host. I'm very close to CHOP, the Children's Hospital, mm-hmm. So I'm not the most, I have three stories and lots of stairs. So, I hosted baby twins and the father was going up and down the stairs making the bottles. And I just felt like I really provided a wonderful thing for this family. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, our mitochondrial disease community knows CHOP very well. It's one of the premier centers for mitochondrial disease care. So I think that this episode is so pivotal too for our community because of that hospital. So, yeah, it's before I got involved in MitoAction, I didn't even understand how crucial the CHOP Center is. So knowing that you're there and that you're so close to that facility is very appropriate as well for our episode. And it seems like this program has really meant a lot to you. So thank you. Thank you so much. And Mike, I'm going to kind of kick it back to you. Who all is eligible to take part in your organization as a guest?
Well, the wonderful thing is that our housing network, we have all different types of housing units.
Yeah.
Because our mission speaks to people, and people like Becca volunteer. And so that gives us an advantage that other extraordinary facilities like the Ramagana houses can't do. For example, we can lodge families up to 7 or 10. Also, we lodge patients of all ages and all illnesses. So for adult patients, for example, in Greater Philadelphia, there's a multifamily facility for cancer patients and one for transplant patients. But any other adult illness, there's no low-cost facilities available. And going back to Ramagana House, or even the other adult facilities that are available, we can also fill gaps. So we have no requirement they have to be seen 2 or 3 times a week. A great example is for the Shriners Hospital. If a child comes in and has a fixator put on her leg, then thereafter you need to be seen once a month for 3 months. Well, with that one time a month medical visit, that child doesn't qualify for Ramagana House.
Oh, okay.
And the other great advantage we have is that we can do reservations. Because again, there is no place better than the Philadelphia Ramagana House. But they have a waiting list, a nightly waiting list. And you only find on the day before whether you get in or not.
Oh,
so we're talking
God.
About relieving stress for families.
Yeah.
We can make a reservation in advance.
Right, right. And you know how hard it is to get some of these appointments. So once you have the appointment, And you can't base it on when you're getting into the Ronald McDonald House. You have to base your visit on when you're getting in to see the doctor. So a program like yours, and, you know, you finally get that appointment that you've been waiting, you know, for this great doctor, whomever, and you can make a plan, and that plan creates peace of mind, right?
Yes. And the great thing is for the mitochondrial community at the Children's Hospital, they do things exactly perfectly in terms of how to refer people to us. And the social worker with whom we work there, her name is Jasmine Taylor, and she's absolutely awesome. And what we call best referral practice is really simple. Ask the patient family of your social worker or a patient navigator, care coordinator. You just ask them if, well, you tell them, first of all, there's this wonderful organization. And then you say, secondly, I could have that organization contact you directly. And then you also say, you're under no obligation to accept what we may have to offer. And that way, what you were talking about, now you have your appointment. So now you want to be proactive, get a place to stay, not having to worry the day before whether you get in or not.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So if I'm listening to this episode and I'm bringing my child or I'm coming to the Philly area myself as a patient, do you fill something out on your website to get started? How does that work?
Well, it is so easy. And first of all, I want to say I have an awesome associate. Her name is Barbara Schiff, and she's our patient family placement specialist. And she's just superb in what she does. So all you have to do with your patient family is call us. I'll tell you the number is 484-380-2999. Or email us. Barbara's email is lodging@hostsforhospitals.org. Or just go on to our website, hostsforhospitals.org. At the top is a link that says guests. And there's a very easy application. It takes you less than 10 minutes to do, and you don't have to dive deep and explain the medical situation at all. We just ask questions. When do you need to be here? If you have a car, if you can do stairs, do you have pet allergies? Just different things. And then this is where Barbara comes back in. She is so perfect at making a customized placement that works both for the guests and for the hosts. Because the way it works for our hosts is they lodge people who they want, when they want, for how long they want. And okay. They discover their sweet spot, and that's how we move forward.
Okay. So kind of switching gears from the host perspective, I'm guessing you have hosts that have different abilities and requirements and kind of tell you when they can host. And I guess, Becca, we'll throw that to you. So do you tell Mike, like, certain times of year, or, and obviously the stairs are a consideration?
Yeah. And I'll second that. Barbara's great. She really,
Mike is so complimentary to everyone he works with. I have to say, there's some people you talk to in life and they don't give credit where credit is due. And Mike is the opposite. So it's a really beautiful thing. So go ahead, Becca.
I guess what I normally do is she'll reach out to me and ask me if I can host. But there's also an email that comes in to hosts about families that are coming, and we can sort of look through that. Because I have stairs, I'm often not a good fit, but then there's enough that I can help out. And if I'm going to be away or if I have visitors coming, I'm not able to help, but, you know, it's very flexible in that. So when I can, I do, but yeah, it doesn't always. There are other people that might have be all on one story or have an elevator or something that can probably help out more. I would say the advantage that I have is I have two bedrooms, one very small, the other one has two beds in it. So I've had, you know, mothers and daughters and, you know, people sort of sharing the space. So I'm able to accommodate probably more people than some other spots. So
okay.
I do what I can.
Oh, and it's, I mean, whatever you're doing, even if you had one bedroom, I mean, still the peace and quiet, the serenity. I mean, especially when you're going through such, you know, hearing tough news or, you know, the waiting game, you know, being able to put you in a serene environment as you're going through those things is a huge deal.
Yeah, I just got a mini fridge so they can, because a lot of people have medication they have to keep cold.
Yeah.
And my neighbor was getting rid of a mini fridge. I said, I'll take it. And, you know, a little coffee maker and tea maker. Yeah, I just try and make it comfortable for them.
In my culture, in my religion, and I know Mike is familiar with it, that this is it's a true example of a mitzvah, a good deed. And so many people walk the earth and can do so much and they don't. And, you know, yes, you have stairs and there's different things to think about, but you're still doing such a beautiful thing for these families. I commend you. I mean, what a nice, considerate thing.
Well, it really is pretty. It's an easy lift for me.
Yeah.
The reward is the gratitude. People are so grateful and I get to meet all these different people. It's very interesting, you know, getting
hearing
to meet
their stories
people
and backgrounds.
Yeah,
and, yeah. Like, do you have meals together?
Recently I had somebody stay and I had some pumpkin bread, and every morning we had a little piece of pumpkin bread and talked about life, and we were both singers and it was really it was really a nice thing to discuss our different experiences. And you know, I was able to send her off to the hospital in a better mood.
Yeah, that's actually a really important point as well, is kind of walking in there feeling a little bit better, you know, because of the environment that they were just in. It's probably enriching your life as well, you know, meeting other people. That's the beauty of the world, right?
Yeah. And so many people that are, you know, just in the most anxiety-provoking situation of their lives. You know, I always
literally
say, I always feel sorry for movers, because I think, well, that must be so stressful and everybody's always stressed, but this is even more,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
a more stressful time for people. So anything I can do to help is welcome. I know it is.
Well, you're doing a lot. So Mike, how do you recruit hosts?
Well, the great thing is the mission speaks for itself.
For sure.
It's just a lot of this word of mouth. We, you know, get involved in the community in many, many different ways. So we will do presentations at places of worship. We have hosts who will place something on their personal Facebook page about their experience. We have neighborhood associations do posts on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of being in person at events where we have tables and booths. And from all these different ways, you know, you had mentioned the Jewish term of mitzvah. And, you know, this is not a religious program. I have to be Jewish as well. For example, right now,
it's a pure coincidence.
And right now we're in the period of, you know, coming to Easter. And one of the values this time of year, I understand, is a concept of giving to your, I hear that a phrase is, giving to others is the best way of giving to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And in that respect, I had a host, it's my favorite quote. He says, when I'm hosting, I get to be the type of person I want to be. So however the person comes to us, what we do then is we have a home intake and we record what the home has to offer. And then we also do training for the hosts. And I mentioned this program, The Inspiration, was a program in Boston. Mm-hmm. Well, they began doing what they do in 1983. And when I learned about it, it was in the year 2000, they'd been 17 years. And we pay them as consultants to teach us how to do this. So now we add our 26 years of doing this. We've been doing this methodology has been being done for 43 years. And we have it down really, really well. So we really train the host well. And the idea is not that they and the guests come and do kumbaya and hug each other, but the hosts go about their business, the guests go about their business, and to the extent they want to, they mutually interact.
Mm-hmm.
And back to that point, we had a wonderful guest. Her name was Janet. Her husband, Tom, was at the Jefferson Hospital in a coma for 2 months. He's fine now, but he was in a coma for 2 months with neurological issues. And she was only there to sleep and shower. But she did a testimonial video and she came home and she said in her testimonial video, I would come home at 10 o'clock at night and my host asked me how Tom was doing. And that was so meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't any shared meals, but it was a deep, deep, deep bond that got created by that.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. From that host perspective, Rebecca, what would you want other people in the Philly area to know?
Well, I think everybody in Philadelphia knows we have some wonderful hospitals.
Yes.
And
yes.
People come from all over the world. I, in fact, helped out some family members who were having surgery or doctors. That was sort of how I got started with this. And I thought, well, there must be an organization that does this. And I went to a street fair and there was Mike. And I talked to him and I said, you're doing it. This is exactly what I was hoping I could find. And it just sort of, I just sort of put that out into the universe and then found them. And I think, yeah, I think what people know is that we have a great demand for the hospitals and doctors in Philly. And this, it's a great community of healthcare providers, and we can help support that in this small way. You know, it's really, say you, like me, maybe your kids have gone off to college or are on their own and you have some extra room. And it's just an easy thing to do to make someone's life a whole lot better in this stressful time. So I would say, if I can spread the word, hopefully through the podcast or going, helping out at street fairs and things to talk to people, then I'll try and do that.
That's lovely. I hope that there are people listening that can hopefully be future hosts, right?
Yes.
So,
yeah, indeed.
Mike, I've gotten the impression that you really want to do the best for everyone that you come in contact with. I mean, it is easy to get that feeling from you. And it's really great. I mean, again, as I said earlier, I feel like there's people in the world that can and don't, and they really could. So I want to hear a little bit more about the ways you've partnered with other community agencies in the Philly area. And it seems to me that you guys could really create beautiful connection and help each other out. Can you speak on that a little?
Absolutely. A couple of things. What our objective is to establish ongoing relationships with different type of community groups. Because when you reach out also, since we talked about Jewish, there's an old Jewish saying that says that it's everyone's job to repair the world, but it's no one's job to do everything. For some people, you know, being a host doesn't speak to them necessarily. Maybe they want to go out and help clean up, you know, the trash in the park, whatever they want to do, you know, be working at a food bank. But so our objective is to have an ongoing relationship with all different type of groups so that people may learn about the opportunity to become a host, to offer housing. And by the way, you can offer housing like a cottage house or a home when you're, you know, when you're away at the shore, you're home back in Philadelphia. You don't have to be there yourself. But our objective is to know that you can either offer housing of some type and help spread word the opportunity to do so to others.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the partnering coming in with community groups is so important. And there's about a half a dozen different type of groups that we work with. I mentioned neighborhood associations. So just have a post in your weekly newsletter whenever you want to do so. We have some great neighborhood associations doing that. Mentioned places of worship. We have a church in Rosemont. They have a parish house they provided to us. Another church is the St. Luke's Greek Orthodox Church. And our contacts there have helped spread word about our program literally to 50 other parishes. And whenever we have it at a place of worship, we go in and we can do an in-person presentation. So for example, there is a small synagogue not too far away from the Children's Hospital in King of Prussia. And 3 weeks ago, they had a mitzvah day and I did a presentation. And 3 different families volunteered to be hosts. And that actually brings us to another type of community group, and that is schools. Because what we've observed through 26 years of doing this is that when a child hosts somebody, that child learns lifelong empathy. And we actually have one example of that. A young woman by the name of Izzy, when she was in 6th grade, she lodged a family from Honduras, her family did. And the patient there, her name was Sophia. She was going to the Shriners Hospital. The 2 sixth grade girls went to elementary school together. And from that, our host, Izzy, was inspired. She learned to be fluent in Spanish in high school and college. And in her medical application this past fall for medical school, she wrote down that her life goal, her life ambition now, is to become a Spanish-speaking physician to help serve the underserved Hispanic community.
Wow.
So we were inspired from that to create our program. We call it our School Families for Patient Families program. And we have our first partner. That's the William Penn Charter Private School in Philadelphia, which is the oldest private school in the country, I think. And in fact, in 10 days, I'm presenting along with one of our other hosts and their host's seventh grade daughter to the high school kids at William Penn Charter, to their CHOP club and to their public purpose club. And the interesting thing is, I have to say, you know, it's that I give shout out to other people. Well, Sophia is the person at the William Penn Charter who created the CHOP club last year, which was in 10th grade. And that's because her own brother is going at times to CHOP, and she was inspired to help others. Another type of group we work with, I mentioned events, and it can be the Alice Lemonade Stand event coming up. We're there every year by the Children's Hospital. There's a Clark Bark Fair. We do that every year. We do in the fall the Pennsylvania Conference for Women every year. But it could be small groups, too, that we do presentations for. We have our table. We have our tents. So anybody in the greater Philadelphia who knows of any type of event, they want to invite us to participate, we'll be just honored to take part in that. And then the other group I would mention would be businesses. Though businesses do what's called corporate social responsibility. And we will partner with any company to help them that their associates know, again, about the opportunity to host or spread the word to be able to someone else to host. And very interestingly, I was at a presentation not too many years ago for the Independence Blue Cross, IBX, and the presenter said that we choose to get involved with any nonprofit if two things are happening. One, what that nonprofit does is very impactful. And two, if for our volunteers, it'll be very meaningful to be involved with that. So by definition, we fit that category. And we've actually created what we call co-branded posts. So any company will take their logo and put it on an advertisement and will post that on social media, working with them, not at them, to help reach their audiences. And in those different ways is how we grow our audience.
It seems like you're the perfect person for doing that sort of thing, that blending of resources, right? And creating connection. And you're so right that the more, you know, places you're at and to just continue talking about the organization, and I'm sure that you find hosts in here, there, and everywhere, right? As you go to these events and do different things. So you mentioned social media for a second, and you've been doing this, you know, you've been running this organization pre and during social media, pre-social media world and during social media world. Everything that people do goes on social media. Have you found that that's a real point of assistance to find other hosts? You know, if someone's, you know, possibly posting a picture of someone they bonded with that they're hosting, and, you know, it comes to light that they host for your organization, have you ever found someone through, you know, a post like that?
Well, it's something we're working on. It's a work in progress of learning how to do this the best way. But for example, we have a paid social media advertising campaign. So there's organic posts and there's, you know, the paid posts. I mentioned earlier in the conversation that we had somebody post to her Facebook page and we got two new hosts from that. So we're always looking to partner with people in any way to share. And in fact, if you go onto our website, for example, you go to hostforhospice.org. And after that is /sharing. And on that page is a half a dozen different type of posts that people can share. And for example, for this time of year, there's a post there about giving to others. And there's also a post there about if you go to the shore, then you're home in Philadelphia if you want to offer for any length of time. And here's something very interesting. If you Google and you ask how many people in greater Philadelphia have shore homes in New Jersey, then AI tells you, 7,500.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's something that a non-Philadelphia resident might not know about.
But if anybody knows somebody in greater Philadelphia and that person goes to the shore, they can offer this for whenever they want to. If it's for 2 weeks while you're gone, you can offer this.
Yeah.
And so the opportunities to help so many more people are out there. And if you think of this about, you know, how you build a structure brick by brick, and we ask ourselves where we are today, and ask ourselves 3 years from now, do our work in social media, we're going to be, the expectation is that we're going to have a much larger housing capacity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just, it seems like you can spread the message so much faster, right? You can kind of do it in so many different ways, right? From the host perspective, from the patient perspective, and from, you know, a paid social media campaign. They're all great options to highlighting what the organization does and for more people to find out about it, right? So there's, it's always important for families to know that it's out there for their need. And then also it's important for families or just Philadelphia residents, families, you know, single person, whomever, to know that, you know, they can do this. And like what Becca said, it's not a huge lift for her. You know, maybe another family or another person will think of it in the same way, right? I mean, one person can easily broadcast this opportunity.
Well, I'll give you an example. We had somebody at the beginning of COVID. There's a Logan Square Neighborhood Association. They put a post there on our behalf about a particular patient family who had a need. And a member of that neighborhood association was not interested in being a host for whatever the reason is, but she told her sister in New Jersey. And her sister in New Jersey became a host. It happened that there was a young man, his name was Tony, living in the Philippines, doing volunteer work, an American person who came down with a liver issue. And because of COVID, it took him 3 months to get back in the United States. And when he did, he went to the Jefferson Hospital, and his parents, for a good number of weeks, lodged this host home in New Jersey because somebody saw a post and then shared that with somebody else. So that's how it works.
Wow. So do you have hosts that are a little bit further out if that person has transportation or...
Yeah, as a kind of a ground rule, it could be about 45 minutes outside of the center city, our downtown area in Philadelphia. Not everybody needs to be close to the hospital. So mm-hmm. For example, if you're coming down from upstate New York for an appointment the next morning and you want to fight 6 hours of traffic that morning, you can come in just the night before. So if you're 45 minutes away, that's a blessing for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you're someone who's doing outpatient radiation treatment, so maybe that's 6 weeks, Monday through Friday, you're at the hospital for 2 hours per day. So having a 45-minute drive is not a big deal. You're not time-challenged. Mm-hmm. And you get to sit down somewhere on a back porch and see the backyard, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So, and also there are facilities there outside of Center City. The Fox Chase Cancer Center is further out.
Got it. Oh, you have so many logistics to coordinate. I give you so much credit, Mike. You do such a wonderful thing.
If you give me credit one more time, I'm going to start charging a nickel each time. So be careful here. But it's my team. I have really good team members.
Yeah. I mean, through this podcast, I've gotten to know so many families that struggle, you know, or even when I watch TV, like I'm really into this Pitt show and, you know, there's patients on there that are so concerned about how they're going to pay for all of this. And it's like the accommodations for the family to reside while the patient is in the hospital. I mean, it's a thing. It's a real issue, you know?
We had one woman, her husband was at Pennsylvania Hospital, and she was in a suburb, so about 30 minutes away. And she would come home at night, and the family had a dog. The dog's name is Ella. And actually, if you go to our YouTube channel, Host for Hospital, you'll see a testimonial video. It's called Hugs from Ella.
Aww.
She would come home at night. Ella would greet her. After a couple of nights, Ella would end up literally sleeping in bed with her.
Aww. Mike, you know, I remember you telling me about a project that's happening this summer. Can you share that with our listeners? I know you're really excited about this.
There's a small little event associated with what's called Philadelphia 250, whereby they created a nonprofit agency called Philadelphia 250 for our anniversary, our country's anniversary. And they are literally having 250 events within the boundaries of Philadelphia over the 4th of July. And beyond that, the World Soccer Championship games, there's six games, they are predicting 450,000 people will be coming to Philadelphia
in June
and July. There's also the Major League Baseball All-Star game in July. And what this all means is that in May, June, and July, it'll be very hard, if not impossible, at any price to get a hotel room for patient families. So that's why, you know, for anyone who's connected with a medical facility, we had talked about earlier in this conversation about best referral practices. If you have a patient family who may need lodging, don't simply tell them to try to give us a call or to email us because that family might be too overwhelmed. And I hate when I get calls, we get calls saying, hi, I've been looking for a whole week at all Airbnbs. I'm exhausted. So I thought I'd give you a call. But rather, if you're a medical partner, be proactive. Ask that family if you can have us call them, and we will do so.
Mm-hmm.
And parallel to that, again, you're going to go away to the shore during that period, or you otherwise have a spa in your home. You know, we welcome you to contact us and discuss whether it would work for you to offer housing. And then here's a very, very cool thing. Whatever we succeed right now in helping these families during this period, we're then going to have an ongoing benefit for the community afterwards because we'll increase our housing capacity.
So that could really change the future too of how you can provide down the road.
Yep, yep.
Wow. That's a big deal. That's a lot of events in one city in just a very short time.
And also, they're having Philadelphia 50, they're having 10,000 people who they call ambassadors, Philadelphia ambassadors, for the purpose of welcoming all of these tourists into town. We talked with the director of that program a couple of weeks ago, and at that time they had recruited 8,700 people already to do this. So for anyone who's a ambassador, one thing you can also do, whether now or thereafter, you can also welcome patient family guests.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. Well, I it's going to be an exciting summer in Philadelphia, and hopefully it really does, you know, increase the abilities of your organization moving forward after that. So, you know, earlier one of you mentioned that maybe hosting isn't necessarily as easy for you, or maybe you're located in a different city and you're not able to host. But I want to bring up while we're in the middle of this conversation that you can also donate to the organization. And, you know, if you don't have a particular need, but you still think that everything you've heard today is just as kind and loving and wonderful as I do, there are opportunities to just donate on their website and to contribute to the organization in that way. So I thank you both so much for telling your stories with us and for sharing what incredible work you're doing in the Philadelphia area. And I hope that only more hosts and more families can take advantage of this beautiful thing you've created. So thank you, Mike, and thank you, Rebecca. Thank you so much for being here.
And thank you so much for your time and all that you do.
Yes, thanks, Marcy.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us. I encourage you to browse other Energy in Action podcast episodes. I am so inspired by the resilience of those in previous episodes, and I know you will be too.